God bless everyone, and thank you, Bob, for the opportunity to share this morning. I've been so blessed with the fellowship, and just to know that we're all connected all over the country and even some in the world, I know that are listening to the recordings too. Just a really wonderful time that we've been able to have together. And so it reminded me of the verse in Ephesians 4, so I want to go there, where it's talking about unity and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I know with so many different opinions floating around out there that it's easy to get sidetracked, I think, and influenced, I guess, by all the things that people are saying. But I think that this morning what I want to do is just focus on how we have unity and how we can keep it. So let's start in Ephesians 4, verse 1, and I'm going to read from the Aramaic translation in this chapter. I, therefore, a prisoner in our Lord, beg you that you should walk as is proper for the calling that you were called, with all humbleness of mind and quietness and long-suffering, and hold up one another in love, and be diligent to keep the alliance of the Spirit with the girdle of peace. It's an unusual translation of that verse. Of course, King James says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we're going to look at this verse a little bit more carefully. But basically, this whole beginning part is how to walk worthy of the calling. And one of the things is to be diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit. The word endeavoring or to be diligent, I found a wonderful definition. It says, carefully and earnestly watch for and promote. So carefully watch for and promote. So to promote or be diligent to keep, and that's not making something of our own, but to keep something that we already have. So we already see that we can guard or preserve something that God has given to us, because each person has the same Holy Spirit in them. There's a wonderful translation of this verse from the Complete Jewish Bible that I wanted to share. It says, and making every effort to preserve the unity the Spirit gives through the binding power of peace. Making every effort to preserve the unity the Spirit gives. And that reminded me actually also of that wonderful verse in John 16 when Jesus was right before he was crucified. And it's in verse 33. These things I have told you so that you may have peace. In the world, you will have affliction, or I think King James says tribulation. But take courage. I have conquered the world.
Amen.
Amen. He told that to his disciples right before going through this torturous thing of being on the cross for us. But because he did that, because Jesus laid down his life for us, we were able to receive this wonderful Holy Spirit and to be able to also become children of God. So now, what is this idea of unity? The idea behind unity is, in Hebrew and Aramaic, there are always root action verbs that help us to understand what the word is talking about. So I love the action behind this word unity, and I wanted to share it with you. It means to turn towards a person with interest or affection. To turn towards a person with interest or affection. I mean, the word unity itself, it just means oneness, or you get the word unit out of it, like a measure. But in Aramaic, it has the idea of making an alliance, where when you turn to someone and you look into their eyes, there's an instant recognition that that other person has the Holy Spirit and has Christ in them. It shines out of their eyes. And so there's immediately not only a recognition, but it stirs our interest to want to form some kind of a bond with that person. And I just think that's so wonderful, that when we really look at each other, then there's this instant recognition that that other person that's standing right there has the same Christ in them. Isn't that wonderful? So when we do this, when we actually look towards people and with this kind of interest or affection, then, like I said, it stirs us to form a kind of a bond. And so the bond that it's talking about in verse 3 of Ephesians 4, and I'll read the Aramaic again. It says, be diligent to keep the alliance of the Spirit with the girdle of peace. So in King James, it's bond of peace. But this word girdle is really wonderful. Maturity is characterized by love. And that's talking about in Colossians 3:14. That's the other place that this word girdle is used. In Colossians 3:14, it says, and with all these things put on love, which is the girdle of maturity. A girdle, I mean, in our culture, in the old days, I guess when my mom was a young woman, you had this fancy girdle that was holding up stockings and all kinds of things like that. Well, today we would probably have something like a Spanx. And that kind of girdle holds it all in. And, you know, sometimes you see some of those ads with people putting on a girdle, the kind of girdle we have today. And the whole idea is so that they can wear this slinky dress. But isn't that what love does? It holds everything in, and it definitely would be making for a more slimming appearance or pleasing way of looking. In the East, in the Eastern customs, a girdle was tied around the waist so that the robe that they were wearing would not come loose and fall off. And then once you had the girdle in place, you could walk and carry on business without trying to continually hold the rope closed. And love is like that. Peace also. Love enables us to walk and carry on our business. And love is what binds people together. And also here, calling it the girdle of maturity, it's the mark of a mature Christian. So I think it's something that we could just think about today, of how do we preserve this unity? When we recognize the Christ in another person, the idea is to be joined to them in some way, whether it's by prayer or conversation or help in any way. It's a touch. The Spirit gives us a place where we have a touch point together, and then love is what binds us with other people in the body so that the relationships get tied together, and then we can develop this maturity together. That's why it brings peace, too. So keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond which brings peace. The power of peace is that the differences that we have between each other kind of fall by the wayside when we're looking at the Christ in the other person. And in fact, we can honor those differences and really rejoice in the fact that just like God made every snowflake different and every plant different, He made every person different. He loves the diversity that's in the body as far as our talents and our contributions and the things that we do, even how we think. But He also made it possible that we would have this spiritual sameness, I guess you could call it, and unity that would allow us to not magnify the differences, but rejoice in the oneness and the unity. I found also a commentary that had said the Ephesians 4:3, actually in the Arabic version, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit by the bond of love and peace. So this love and peace together is the unit of measure that we have that enables us to preserve the unity. Now, going on in chapter 4 in Ephesians, it says 7 things that give us unity and show our unity. So I wanted to read that. You will be in one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. So there's the first 3. We already talked about the spirit part. The body, I wanted to look at Colossians 2:19, because this actually explains how the spirit and love go together as joints and ligaments. So Colossians 2 and in verse 19, and does not hold the head in honor, from whom the whole body is fit together. The body is fit together with the head being Jesus Christ. And it's established with joints and with members or with ligaments and grows with the growth of God. Jesus Christ is the head, but this unity is like, the spirit is like the joint. If you think about your shoulder joint, there's a point where the two bones meet together and are fit together. That's how we each have spirit, and there's a touch point. There's a point where we're joined together. But bones would fall apart if there weren't ligaments that held them together. And the ligaments are the love of God, walking in peace. So the love is what holds it together and allows the body to move. So with joints and bands, the body is fit together as God wishes it to. So that's the first thing of unity. So we had one body, one spirit, one hope. We're going to have the hope of Christ's return. In fact, down in verse 13, all of this is happening, and we have gift ministries so that we can become mature until we all become one in the faith. That will be a glorious day. So let's continue and just finish reading 5 and 6. For there is one Lord and one faith. We all have the faith of Jesus Christ too. And one baptism. That reminded me of a teaching that Barney did a long time ago on how we're pickled. Where when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're changed completely from a cucumber to a pickle. And one God, the Father of all, and above all, and by all, or through all, and in us all. So the actual, all these different things that give us unity end with the idea that God is the one who caused it all. He made it happen by sending his son. He's our Father, and through him, he works in each one of us all. So we can, again, turn towards a person with interest or affection. So wherever we go, if we're at home, turn to the one that you're at home with. If you're out and about and go to the grocery store, look and see, where is the person who has Christ in them? And really look in their eyes and acknowledge that God has put this whole beautiful body together, and that's why we have the unity of the Spirit, and we can keep it and preserve it. So I'll read that translation of, again, of verse 3. And making every effort to preserve the unity the Spirit gives through the binding power of love and peace. God bless you today.